Everyone. Good afternoon, Leanne. He's getting help again. I can hear it. He's getting ice water. So we appreciate the opportunity to come here to Cambridge in the afternoon. That's nice. When Mark called and said, you know, or I sent him an email about the afternoon, I said, that's never a problem. And we still can't make it on time. I do enjoy, I know it's Christmassy, but I do enjoy the Charles Dickens things out. That's kind of, we stopped and talked to a few of them, but they never answered back. So, but it is kind of quaint and nice. I know it's Christmassy. We don't do that, but it's, come on, you guys like it too. You don't like it? Okay. Anyway. You know, it seems like, you know, I was just here in November. And since I've been here, we've had some problems in the world. You know, we had a couple weeks ago, there was a major terrorist attack in Paris. There was a shooting in Colorado. And then just recently, the terrorist attack again, this time in San Bernardino, California. You know, violence, unfortunately, is everywhere. People are nervous. People are frightened. And it seems that the whole world is on alert, which in one sense, maybe we should be on alert. And to make matters worse, we cannot decide, at least our government cannot decide, whether these are terrorist attacks or workplace violence or whatever they are. We have people accusing one another. We have newspapers that are mocking God, mocking prayer. I don't know if you saw the Daily News out of New York, the headline that responded to some of the Republican candidates sending tweets about praying for the victims and their families in San Bernardino. The headline read, God isn't fixing this. And, you know, I'm sure for all 8 readers that still read that newspaper, that might have been disappointing to them. But, you know, we live in scary times. We live in a world that can be described as angry. We live in a world that is violent. We live in a world that is of aggression. Nations are angry at one another. There are racial tensions that are stronger than I ever remember, you know, since the 1960s. And I don't remember too much of the 60s, but from what I read and so forth. We have religious extremists that are violent and evil, and will do anything to promote their distorted views and values. We live in a world where a restless Satan the devil is active. You know, in 1 Peter 5:8, you don't have to turn there, but you know, it says, be sober, be alert, and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And it seems like our world is like that. That there's a roaring lion out there trying to devour and destroy and to maim and to hurt. And you know, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get angry at what is happening. And sometimes, unfortunately, I think sometimes we get numb. Oh, another shooting. Oh, 10 people were killed in that one. Or only one person was killed in that one, or 3. You know, we get numb and we go on with our lives. And we can become sometimes insensitive. You know, it is painful, you know, when you stop and you think about the lives of some of these people that are changed forever. A couple of madmen go in, or in this case, a woman. It's painful to think of the families who lost their loved ones. Mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, all gone. You know, we can become downcast. We can become discouraged. We can lose focus. And we can dwell on all the ugliness. You know, what? What can we do? You know, our goal is to keep moving on. Turn with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 1. Psalm Psalm 37, verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his ways, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. You know, I could stop right there, and that would be a good sermon. Well, maybe not a good sermon, but depends on who gives it. But the message there, it pretty much sums it up. God will take care of evildoers. It says there, we are to trust in the Lord. We are to commit our ways to him. We are to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. We are to cease from anger. And I've had a hard time ceasing from anger when I think about the people that do this. Because those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. What a wonderful, wonderful passage. You know, this world is in darkness. It is in pain. It is suffering. But you know, we are blessed today. We're blessed because we know the outcome of all of this. We know that despite everything that is going on, if we continue to hold on to what we know, to what we have, and we continue to wait on the Lord, our future is gloriously set. This world needs God. Boy, does this world need God. But you know, the world also needs you. The world needs you. You know, the United Church of God put on some programs in Texas after the feast with the theme, "The Time Is Now." This year at the Winter Family Weekend, which we talked about in the announcements, the theme is going to be, or it is, "Our Time Is Now." And that's what I want to talk about during the rest of the sermon. I have 3 hours. I'm just kidding. It'll be short. We didn't have a sermonette. But our time is now. This is our time. Our time to shine. This is your time to be a light in the world. As I said, the world needs you. The world needs some light, and the world needs some hope. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. We'll start in verse 14. Matthew 5, verse 14. It's a very familiar scripture. This is the words of Jesus Christ. Matthew 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We are told by Jesus Christ himself to go out and be a light to the world. We can't sit at home and be that light. But we need to be a light wherever we go. You know, when we leave this hall today, we should be a light. When we go to school, we should be a light. When we go to work, go to the grocery store, we should be a light. We represent the church and Jesus Christ and God the Father wherever we go. Please turn with me to John 8, verse 12. John 8. John 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus is the real light. He is that awesome, bright light. When we follow him, when we walk with him, we absorb his light, and we become lights to others. This world is in darkness, and it cannot see his light. God the Father may draw. He drew us. He may draw others to his light, and that's his choice. But we can be another light that they see. It is his light. It's the light of Christ, but they don't know that yet. One day, they'll be able to connect the lights. They'll take our light that they see and they're connected to, oh, that's the light of Jesus Christ that they're seeing. It is our responsibility to be a ray of hope in this dark world. We can be a light to our neighbors. When someone is worried about the state of our country, the state of the world, you can tell them, you're worried, but you're not worried. If you know what I mean by that. Because we know, we have faith in God, that God eventually will restore this world. He'll restore all things. We have faith that God will send his Son back to this earth and make all things new. We can let people know that we have hope because of what we believe in. You don't have to go into all the details about, I'm this way because I don't eat pork. I mean, there's other ways. There's, you know, I'm this way because this is what I believe. This is who we are. This is what I am. This is our time to shine our lights. People need that hope. We have hope. We've been given a view, an insight into the future. Turn with me to 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. As darkness pervades this society, we have to keep remembering the hope that is within us. We have to remember who we are. We have to remember what we do, why we do it. We have to remember that God has promised each one of us a fantastic future, a fantastic inheritance. And when someone asks about the hope that is within you, tell them, this is who I am. This is what I believe. Tell them you can cope with this pain of the world, in the world. Tell them you can survive because you know the plan. We know the plan. We know somewhat, partly, what God is doing. Obviously, we don't know the whole plan, but we do know that he knows what he is doing. And we know that if he is doing it, it's okay. And we have faith in that. You know, as a church and as a congregation, you know, we have to push forward. We have to continue to move on. Satan is very active. He's very angry. But God is so much bigger, so much better, so much stronger, so much greater than Satan the devil. God's plan, God's future will happen. His Son, Jesus Christ, is going to return to this earth. We've been waiting a long time, but it's going to happen. Satan will be banished from this earth. It's going to happen. God the Father is going to usher in his kingdom. You know, we can read it and we can think about it. We can think, wow, that's going to be way in the future. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. We have to continue to believe and to know that. We can never lose sight of that. You know, back in 1992, my family and I, we lived in California, just east of Pasadena. Early one morning, our house started shaking, and it was shaking hard. My wife, Charlotte, was in the living room with our middle son at the time, Ryan. You have a phone call. Do you want me to get it or just up here? I don't see him. It's the lottery you won. Okay. Anyway, it was Pasadena. We were at 1992. Go back in time. My wife was on the couch with my middle son, Ryan, who was a baby at the time. And everything was shaking. We were going through a major earthquake. My oldest son, Andrew, he was a baby at the time, so it's not weird, but he was in bed with me. And everything was shaking. It was violent. And the walls were shaking. Pictures were coming off. Glass was breaking. It was a rough time. It was very frightening. And as the day progressed, we had a few nasty... I think he's there now. Oh, okay. But we had... We went outside the house. The main thing at the time, we wanted to make sure that as it went through earthquakes, we went through some nasty aftershocks, the house's foundation was still set. It was a little house. I mean, it's like 800 square feet. You know, it was rolling all over the place. But the foundation was still set, which is a big relief to us. Because back in the 90s, as we remember, there was another major earthquake. And this was the earthquake, a spiritual earthquake in the church. Things shook violently for a lot of us. And a lot of us had to go outside and look, is our foundation set? And for some of us, it was set. And for some people, it wasn't. The foundation was loosened. The walls were crumbling down. Many longtime members, people I grew up with, people I thought were, you know, the cat's meow in Christianity, lost their foundation. It was shaken from them. But, you know, we can have our foundation shaken like the earthquake in 1992 or the spiritual earthquake in 1995. It can be shaken, but we can never let it break. Our foundation are the truths that we believe in today. Our foundation are the doctrines of the church. Our foundation has to be rock solid. Turn with me to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Unless God is the foundation, unless Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone in our foundation, it will fall. It will fail. Our house can sway, but the foundation has to be solid. When events in this world get crazy, and they are, and they will get worse, we have to remember who we are. We have to remember why we are. And we always have to remember who is on our side. We have to have a solid foundation, and then we have to build on that foundation. You know, this is God's church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. That will never change. You know, in the way the United is set up today, we have a council of elders. We have a general council of elders. We have a president, Mr. Kubik, who runs the day-to-day operations of the church. We have a home office that takes care of church administration, paying salaries, taking care of the income from tithes and offerings. We have magazines, a telecast, a website. These are all good things. We have congregations, some with full-time pastors, some with part-time pastors or elders. We have the church. And the church is you, and the church is me. This group here, and groups all over the world, support the church so it can preach the gospel provide a ministry and support, coming back to support the churches. The gospel is being preached via the internet, television, and magazines. This is the church. You are the church. It's our time now. We need to be supportive. We are supportive, but we need to support the church financially. We need to support the church through prayer. That never goes away. But it is your time. It is our time now. And I mean by that, it's time to be involved. It is time to make the church your church. We know it's God's church. Don't everybody say, he's talking about heresy. This is God's church. But you are the church. And especially you younger, we have younger people here, really young people here. It is your time now. It is your time to be a part of something incredible. It is time to know what you know and to believe what you know. Some of us, I go back to 1990s, we had a time. Many of us older members, we were severely tested in the 1990s. Do we know what we believe? Do we really know what we know? We grew up in the church and we went to the holy days. We kept the holy days. We did certain things and we just did them. I have family members that I found out they just did them. Did we really learn? Did we really know why we did what we did? Did we know why we kept the holy days? Did we understand the plan of God? For many of us, we had to study again, or some study for the first time, the basic truths that we were supposed to know. We were challenged by others. We were challenged by family members about what we believe. Why do you keep doing that? Why do you do this? Why not, what's wrong with Christmas? What's wrong with Halloween? What's wrong with keeping Sunday? We were challenged. We were challenged by our own brethren. We were challenged by some of the ministry to what we believed. We were challenged, and we had to know right from wrong. We had to prove who and what we were. We had to prove why we believe what we believe. We had to prove God's truth. And young people, it's your time to prove that right now. To prove that this is the way of life. Many waited too long. Many got caught up in this. They got caught up in that. They got caught up following this guy, or they got caught up following that guy. And they never proved it. It was easier to go back to a different way of life than it was to prove the truth. They fell by the wayside. We don't want that to happen to anyone, any of you. Now is the time. Now is your time to keep proving all things. The latest good news, Steve Myers wrote an article about the Sabbath. It's a basic article, but he used Hebrews 13:8, where it states that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's a very, very good article. When I think about that verse, it is very comforting to know that Jesus Christ does not change. God the Father does not change, as Jesus Christ and God are one. God's laws and His truth do not change. When we read the Bible and we find the truth, it does not change. It doesn't matter what every other church is doing or saying. How can 90% of them be wrong? I remember articles like that. Well, they can be. Look at the media today. You have one incident, and you've got 90% of people saying it's this and 10% saying it's this. Who do you believe? It can be wrong. 95% can be wrong, and they are wrong. God's truth does not change. We need to get our noses in this book and read and study and prove what we know to be truth. And if it's true today, it's going to be true tomorrow. It doesn't change. Our time is now means it's time to grow up as Christians. Is our foundation solid? Are we growing? Are we learning? Are we overcoming? Is there something that we do or not do that we should not do or should be doing that we keep putting off? We can say to ourselves, I've got time. I know I need to stop doing this or stop doing that. I will. I'll start. I know I need to pray more. I know I need to study more. I need to attend church more often. I need to talk to my parents, or I need to talk to my children. I need to quit hanging around this person. I need to do this. I need to do that. I will. I'll start right after the feast. I'll start New Year's. I'll start after the winter weekend. I'll start Sunday. I'm preaching to myself. We all do this, don't we? We put things off that we know we should be doing. Our time is now. Please turn to James 4. James 4, verse 13. James 4, verse 13. James 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. We do not know what tomorrow will bring. If something needs to be done, we need to do it now. We can't keep doing the same thing. If we have a bad habit, let's pray about it and stop it. If we need to do something, let's pray about it and do it. You know, the great news is that God knows everything about you, both good and bad, and He loves you. He values your life unconditionally. God does not always approve of our behavior, but you know, He's not pleased when we go against His will. I thought you'd get another phone call, but you're not. And when we do, we always suffer the consequences and have to work with Him to correct our thoughts, words, actions, or attitudes. And while you should work to improve in the areas where you fall short, nothing you do will ever cause God, and that's a great thing that we think about that, nothing we do will ever cause God to love us less. He could be disappointed. You know, I think as a parent, we have three sons, and they have done things to, we like them less. We love them all the time, but we do like them less. And I think God is the ultimate Father in heaven, and I think sometimes He may like us less, but He's always there and He loves us. He's constant, and we can depend on that. If you would, turn to Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I just love this scripture. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God is thinking about each one of us. That's kind of a cool thing when you think about that God is thinking about us. And He wants to give us a future of peace and hope. Our being a part of God's plan is something truly amazing. We can think, well, what can I do? How can I do anything to help God? I can barely make it through the day on my own. I do this, and I do that. I cannot help. I need the help. Turn with me to Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 13. Philippians 3, verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is our calling. The time is now. We have to be like Nike and just do it. Let's work on our issues, our problems, our faults. Let's be a light to the world, to our community, to our family. I know there are some very rough situations that some live in. There are health issues. There are financial trials. And let's face it, none of us are getting any younger. That is why it's so important to change and grow now. And for all of us, this is why it is so important to have a solid foundation to prove what we know. So when we are sick, when we are older, we have that to hold on to. When the wind and the rain come, and we know they will, we will hang tough as our house is on a solid foundation. We are all, as Paul said, pressing forward, pressing towards that prize. We have a wonderful goal set before us. We really do not have time to waste. You know, do we realize, do we think about, and I know we do, and I'm preaching again to myself, but do we think about the incredible future that God has in store for us? We can get so bogged down in the world and our daily struggles and our lives, and we can forget sometimes the glorious future. You know, think ahead about what is out there, what God has in plan, what God has in store for us, the plan He set before us. It may look dark now, but the future is bright. God has promised you life. Life. Eternal life. He wants to give you happiness, joy, and peace. He is offering us a world without sorrow, without pain, without death. He has given us the opportunity to have a full and abundant life now. Yes, there'll be trials. There'll be pain. There'll be sorrows. But you know, we know the end. We know the end result. We know that we're going to go through this, but the end result is life again. Do you know how good it feels? I mean, we've all been sick. We've all had the flu or whatever, and you're sick, and you think, man, this is horrible. And there's people that are sick, you know, all the time. But you know, when you recover from the flu or something like that, you think, man, it's so good to feel good. It's so great not to have a headache. It's so great to not to have a backache. It's so great just to feel good. And we're going to have that good feeling for eternity. This is a great time to be a part of God's church. You know, the church has gone through some terrible storms, and we've witnessed that. We've held on fast. But you know, there's new life. God is blessing the church. You, again, are the church. This is not the church of the ministry. It's not the church of the home office. This, again, number one, it's God's church. You are the church. When people see you, when they interact with you, they are seeing God's church in action. You represent the church. You represent Jesus Christ. You represent God the Father wherever you go. Think about that. It's a big mantle to wear. You know, I've been reading the Good News magazine more. You know, growing up, we had the Good News, the Plain Truth, the Worldwide News, you know, everything. And I spent so much time sometimes as a kid reading those, I didn't read the Bible, and that's not good either. But I think, you know, I've asked my kids and so forth, do you read the Good News? And now, it's there. And we get like 3 copies at the house. But you know, it's a good magazine. And I think especially for young people, there are some very basic articles in there about the Sabbath, but there's articles about what's going on in the world, that Satan is the instigator of this. And also, as new people come to the church, a lot of them have read those articles, and when they come in and ask you about them, explain what that article said again. We should be reading those. There are I am very impressed with the writing in the Good News magazine. And there's articles on Christmas. Just helps you when you go to school and things like that, you know, or go to work and explain these things. Or encourage you, hey, I don't have time to explain it, read this. But I would encourage you to read those articles. I would encourage you to have your children read them. They're helpful. they have come out with some, and I keep telling my wife that they've come out some very strong articles against some major sins and major issues going on in the world. So they think they do a great job. We today have so many tools to keep us informed. We can read most of the minutes from the council sessions. We get letters from Mr. Kubik. We get letters from Mr. Weber about what is happening in the church and on the council. There are articles and booklets online. There are hundreds of sermons online. We live in a rich era of the church. There is knowledge everywhere. All the church's doctrines are on the website. If you have a question on anything, just type it in and boom, you can find an answer. There's study papers on almost everything that you could think about. There's forums that you can ask questions. We live in an era that, I mean, we have so much knowledge. It's all available. Please turn with me to Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 11, please. Romans 13, verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. I'm not saying anyone is asleep, except people in the back row. But what I'm saying is that it's time. It is our time. We don't have a lot of excuses for why I didn't really know that or I didn't understand that. It's right there. You can read it. Print it off and bring it to church and ask your pastor about it. I don't really quite get this. Can you help me? It's there. We have a lot of information out there. I've heard a lot of people, they've said to me or they said to others, you know, I wish the church would do this. I wish the church would get involved in this charity, or I wish the church would get involved helping this group, or, you know, I always tell them the same thing, do it. If you want to get involved with a group to help, just do it. No one is saying you can't do that, just do it. You want to help the homeless? Do it. You want to do this? Do it. You know, there's a lot of ways to help people. You know, we don't have to wait for the church. You are the church. Do it. Help people if you find ways to help people. Serve people. There are people all over the place that need help. There are events to serve in. There are people in this congregation today that need help. Ask someone. Is there anyone that needs any help? Ask someone. There's somebody that needs help. Well, you know, we'll make something up. There's a lot of ways to help people. Just seek and you will find. You know, we need to be excited. Excited about this way of life. Excited about what we know. Excited about being a part of this church, a part of this congregation, a part of this work. You know, we need to be thrilled. We really need to be thrilled to be here every week, to be a part of this. Turn with me to John 6:44. Another very familiar scripture. John 6:44. John 6:44, again, this is Jesus Christ talking. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Think about that for a moment. No one can come to me, this is Christ speaking, unless the Father who sent me draws him. God the Father and Jesus Christ had a conversation about you. They had a conversation one day about you. Do you think we should talk to that person, that guy over there? Would he be a good one? How about her? Would she be a good one? They had a conversation about you. God the Father personally invited you to have a relationship with his Son. That's quite an amazing thing. He personally invited you to have a relationship with his Son. It's pretty awesome, and it's pretty special. God has handpicked you and me to be a part of this way of life, something that's very, very special. We should be bubbling with enthusiasm. We should be overjoyed. We should be excited. Our hearts should be full of joy every week. We should be bursting with gratitude for the blessing of being a part of this way, the only way. We should be excited about being a part of God's work that is doing something to help others understand their future. I want to read from the latest member letter from Mr. Robin Weber. He wrote about the upcoming Council of Elder meetings. He says, "Fellow ministers and dear brethren, allow me to share something with you as we approach these coming meetings." They're coming, I think, this week, right? The meetings are this week? Yeah, I think so. Okay. "As we approach these coming meetings, the word that keeps echoing in my mind is peace. Why is that? I would pray that it's by God's prompting to share with you. All around this world, we see horrendous events occurring, whether the dateline is Paris, Brussels, Syria, Mali, the Sinai, or the streets of our own cities. We read about godless decisions made by politicians and know the long-term results of people thumbing their nose at Scripture. Proverbial shoes are dropping so quickly that we can increasingly become tone-deaf to the thump." You have another phone call. We'll meet you. Your pizza's ready. Okay, let me see. "Mankind does have a hope beyond self-obliteration, and each of us have hope beyond our personal grave. The living head of the church, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, tells his followers, 'Peace I live with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.' He is bringing peace to this world, but it will not come easily because human nature doesn't like to surrender itself to purposes beyond itself. This same Prince of Peace reminds us that peace is not only reserved for a future world, but tells us our homework, our heart work, is here and now by encouraging us to be like him when he stated, 'Blessed are the peacemakers.' You know, our time is now as a church and individually. We are to be living examples of this way of life. We are to be peacemakers in this dark, dark world. God has given us everything. He gave us his son. You know, when you think about that, I was thinking about that over Thanksgiving. He gave us his son. You know, I could sacrifice my life for people. I don't know if I could give you my son to do that. That would be a hard thing to do, to sacrifice your own son like that. So it's a marvelous thing that God has done for each one of us. We should be so thankful. We should be encouraged. We should be living lights in this world. Our time is now to be a part of this living and growing church of God. The world does not know God, but we do. He is our Father. He's our Dad. And Jesus Christ is our older brother. He loves us. They love us. Please turn with me to 1 John 3. 1 John 3. Verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." We are the children of God. We do not know what we will be like, but we know we will be like him. That is awesome. What a wonderful hope and a wonderful future for each one of us. Let's make this way of life our own. Let's get excited about what God is doing in our lives and in the lives of others. Let's get charged up. Let's get moving. We need to pray for the church that God will guide the leadership and make the right decisions. They're having council meetings this week. We need to make sure that's a part of our prayer, that the leadership knows to make the right decisions, that they are God-driven. We need to pray every day about our own decisions, that we make the right decisions. We all can do our part to be a shining light in this world. The world needs your light. Our time is now.